You know, I'm a minister, and as I've said so many times, when you're a preacher, you preach. A lot of people, you can't tell whether they're a minister or not. They don't ever preach enough to whether you know they're a minister. Of course, I don't understand that. Of course, sometimes folks say, well, Brother Pike, I don't have any place to preach. Well, I preach all the time. In my life, in my ministry, I found out that having a place don't have nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter where you're at. Sometimes the local station downtown, sometimes in the grocery store, sometimes in the funeral parlor, sometimes in the police chief's office, sometimes out on the street, sometimes in private homes, automobiles, wherever. I found that when you are a preacher, you're going to preach. If you're just, you know, if you've supposedly got a calling and you're looking for your ship to come in, as the world says, in some great day of what you're going to do, that's one thing. But when you are a preacher, a real genuine preacher, you preach. There's nothing else you can do about it. It's like a prophet said one time, my purpose in my heart, I wouldn't say anything. He said, but it was like fire that was shut up in my bones that I couldn't do anything about it. And it was like Elisha, when do they throw the dead man in on him? So much power was in the man's bones until it resurrected the man. And the Bible tells us, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. Again, I say one of the problems with the church of today, it's powerless to the extent that it don't have no virtue. It doesn't pull away from ball games and frolics and things of the world. It doesn't stay away from forms and faces and fleshly activities and human sensation. It doesn't stay away from the carnality of life. It's driven by the devil and constantly in a condition of lasciviousness. So it's no wonder that the powers are missing. See, the Bible said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. And the Bible said that virtue went out of the body of Jesus and healed all of the people. Even the little woman that touched the hem of his garment, the Bible said that Jesus turned and said, who touched me? And they said, well, Master, people are touching you from every way. He said, no, not like this, not like this. Or he didn't use that terms. He said, virtue went out of my body. And the little woman came trembling, knowing that she was not hid, fell down before the Lord Jesus, and he said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. See, the virtues of God, pulling away, being a virtuous person, for God is the spirit of virtue. And our bodies are supposed to be holy, just like our spirit. Someone would say, well, the thing is, Brother Pike, I believe in being holy in spirit, but the Bible said be holy in body too. And Paul said, I need to present you body, soul, and spirit, blameless, before God Almighty. So then there are angelic beings that have no bodies. There are angelic beings that do have bodies. There are angelic beings that do have souls. And there are angelic beings that don't have souls. So then that means that we are given to a body with a soul as an angelic being. Not that the angel needs that, but because God has chosen to breed life in us and to bring forth life in us. And you can't have life unless you've got a soul. Even animals have to have a soul to be able to bring forth life. And that life is in the blood, in mind. So many times we'd like to say something about the blood life and to get into the intricate things. And tonight I just kind of chose to say a few little things in the way of exhorting, trying to bring to your mind, if I can, if I can spark up enough hunger tonight, to bring to your mind a little differentiating to where it will help you in your Christian life. It's necessary to hear the minister, and it's necessary to know these things. If you know these things, then happy are you if you do these things. See, and it's necessary for you to know these things. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the knowing. So then, if you're going to have faith, you got to hear. And if the man that's going to preach is going to preach the word to you, then he's going to have to be sent of God. For how can you hear if you don't have a preacher? How can he preach lest he be sent? He can tell you Bible stories and do all kind of things. But unless he's sent, he'll never perfect your faith. The Bible teaches that we're set here for the perfecting of your faith. And it's going to take your faith to be able to translate you and take you out of this world. And it's also going to take your faith to be able to overcome sickness and to be able to overcome the devil and all of these kind of things. So like I was telling the brethren yesterday, the Bible said that the devil will go about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible said, resist him steadfast in the faith. Don't give place to him at all. Just resist him. Now, I say to you as I said to them, supposing that a lion come in here. What if a lion walked in here? A lion, you ever seen a lion when he was disturbed and roaring? You know, you see him and he's disturbed, he's roaring. He's this way and this way and he's just roaring, roaring, roaring. He's upset, he's disturbed. See, somebody's got him disturbed. And what if he come in here like that as a roaring lion looking for the prey? He come in here, see, what would you do and what would I do? There's no doubt about it. If we could get out of here, we'd get out of here, and we'd get out of here fast. Somebody said, well, not me. Well, then you'd be his meal for that day. So then, I look back and I see the wonderful courage of David, how that David faced a lion, how he faced a bear with a little slingshot. And then I see Samson, how that he faced the lion, reached and got him, and did him like it was a little goat. The Bible said he just reached and got him and rent him like he was a kid or a little goat. See, and I see the courage of those great men that faced those things, of the great man that jumped down in the pit with a lion when he found the lion trapped. He jumped down into the pit with the lion and slew the lion in the pit. And I think, well, God is for sure that I'm supposed to have something they don't have. And that's the Holy Ghost. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. And I thought, I'm supposed to have the Holy Ghost, and I believe I got him, Lord. But you're sure going to have to do something to me if I'm ever able to do that. And I know that God can do that. At the time comes, he can do that. He's give courage through the dark age back during the time of the martyrs when women who were frail little women stood like a bold giant and didn't budge when they offered their lives to Christ. See, and there's something that seizes you, and I know that, but I'm supposing a lion come in here. Now, you can tell him to shut up, you can tell him to get out, you know, you can run at him, you can do whatever you want to. It wouldn't even faze him. You could threaten, you could throw things at him, it wouldn't even faze him. He just got one way. He's fearless. He just comes. He's got one way, and that's right toward the prey. See, what would you do? And yet the Bible said the devil is going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he's 10,000 times worse than a lion. And he's 10,000 times worse than a rattlesnake. And yet he's all around. And he is coming, looking, constantly looking for something to devour. The Bible said resist him. Draw nigh to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist him with a steadfast faith in God. Stand, having done all to stand. Stand anyway in the faith. Stand. When you can't do anything else, stand anyway by the grace of God, by faith in God. See now, right there when we say that, that's when we have to consider some things. What is this that the Scripture has said? What is this that our father Abraham has found, the Bible says, as pertaining to the faith? What is this that he hath found? If he had found something that pertains to works, he hath whereof to boast, but not in God. But this thing that he hath found pertains to the faith. This faith. And what saith the Scripture? That Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Can you imagine that? That here people are that after Abraham, they work all of their lives and kept the law and done all those things as to the best of their ability and never one time obtained unto righteousness. Though they offered sacrifices for the space of 40 years in the wilderness, never did catch God's attention one time. done all the things they did. They forsook their homeland. They left their kindred. They come out. They wandered in the wilderness. Never did catch God's attention. As a matter of fact, to the contrary, God became so angry with them that he opened up the earth and let the earth swallow up all of them because of their murmurings and complaining. And the Bible said, seeing that these entered not into God's rest, therefore there remaineth a rest for God's people. And ye beware, and ye fear, lest this rest be taken away from you, and that ye fail also to enter into this rest. For there is a rest for God's people. And he that hath entered into God's rest has ceased from his own work. Now, when we say, and entering into God's rest, it's very evident that that's what Abraham did. Abraham entered into a covenant with God and into a rest with God. And in that rest, it was no more of works, lest any man should boast. It was by faith. And the Bible said, in Abraham's faith was accounted for unto him for righteousness. Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven and his sins are covered, that is, by the blood. See, blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth faith for righteousness. And Abraham's faith was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he believed God. What saith the scriptures? He believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Not only for him, but being the father of many nations, and thy seed shall be as the sands of the seashore innumerable. And not only was it imputed unto him, but for all that would believe with faithful Abraham, so then his faith is imputed unto him for righteousness. Now I know when we get right there, we get off track. A lot of people get off the track, and they want to drink and smoke and dope up and curse and snarl and do all the things of the world and go out here and abuse themselves with mankind and womenkind. See, and then they want to shed a few little tears and say, well, Lord, you know my heart. God, you know I love you, and God. And they'll bawl and bawl and bawl. And that is one of the sloppiest, messiest things I ever seen in my life. That's worse than Esau done. See, the birthright's already gone. And what it is, they love the world and they love the things of unrighteousness and they love to do the things of the flesh, and it can be as mean and dirty and filthy in their thoughts and talks as can be. And then they'll get out there and just bawl and say, Lord, you know I love you. When it's nothing but tears when they think that they're going to be cut off and go to hell and that God is not going to save them, and it dawns on them that they're going to be lost, and then they want to be sweet to God. You know, that is a terrible, messy sort of a thing. See, but the thing is, that's not what God is speaking of when it says that his faith was imputed unto him for righteousness. It means that Abraham done everything possible to please God and followed after God and left the land of his kindred and went out strictly by faith in God, and everything that he could to please God, he did with his physical being. With his mind, to love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, and to help feed the widows and the orphans, and to give, to help publish the gospel, to pull souls out of the fire, doing all those things that please God, turning away from the flesh, despising the garment that's spotted with iniquity, having nothing to do with the human part of life, coming out of the world, being a separate people, staying away from the unclean things and the unclean places. And the Bible said, and come out from among them, and I'll be your God, and ye shall be my people. And I'll have a peculiar people, a people that's zealous of good works. So then we see, and Abraham believed God. He believed God. Abraham said, or the Lord said to Abraham, that is, get thee out of the land of thy kindred, and I will make a great nation of you. Move out of the land of your kindred. You know, I say that so often to you, being your pastor, and I say, get out of the land of your kindred. And someone would say, well, what is my kindred? The flesh is your kindred. You're akin to the flesh. Get away from the flesh. Get out of the flesh. Move away from the flesh. Someone would say, well, I can't do that, Brother Pye. But the Bible said we're not in the flesh, we're in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God is within us. See, get out of the flesh. Get out of the world. Stay away from evil conversation. They corrupt good manners. You can't keep putting garbage in your ears and listening to something from radio and television and people's conversation and all these kind of things of gossiping and backbiting among religious people. You can't do that and be a Christian. That's not possible. That's not possible for you to do that. See, the Bible said, abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the soul. Just your desire is contrary to God. You're born with a contrary desire. And just your contrariness of desire is carnality and an enemy to God. And any time that desire for just your natural needs of eating or relation with your companion or these things that God has allowed you to have, just that alone, if it's blown out of proportion, then it's lust. And the Bible said, make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust or the desire thereof. See, abstain from fleshly lust. It warreth against the soul. And anything that you do in the flesh, it'll always be contrary to the Spirit. So then, we understand that there is a rest for God's people. And to believe God, the writer said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my work. Not that the works has anything to do with faith. It has nothing to do with faith. See, you believe, and faith hath to do with works. When you believe, you do what you believe. Somebody says, I think I'll go to bed. I believe I'm going to bed, so they go to bed. One says, well, I believe that you should eat when mealtime comes, so you'll find him eating at mealtime. Another says, I believe I'll go fishing, and sure enough, he goes fishing. And one says, well, I believe I'll go to work on Monday, and I'll work all week and make myself a paycheck, and sure enough, that's what he does. And another says, I believe that I will serve God with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul. If that's real faith coming from his heart, that heart will command him, constrain him, and the first news you know, you'll find that he's doing something for God. He's trying to swear to his own hurt, trying to have self-denial and put self aside. So then when the Bible said, and Abraham believed God, he believed God. He believed God. And God said, get thee out of the land of thy kindred. And faith commanded him to get out of the land of his kindred because he believed what God said. Eve did not believe God. And so she turned away from God and brought sin into the world. And sin is in the world today by lust. When the Lord said, thou shalt not eat thereof, and that day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And another voice said, thou shalt not surely die. See, and she believed the serpent more than she believed God. And so she lost her life. See, though we know that entering into God's rest is to believe, I cannot do anything in my natural being that will make me any better to God. I cannot pray. I cannot fast. I cannot do penance. I cannot inflict punishment upon myself. I can't do anything. I can't give. I can't go. I can't have. I can't sacrifice. I can't do anything. I can't just go to church or whatever. I can't become a great Bible scholar. None of these things touch God. See, I can't do anything. All I can do is believe in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That the Lord Jesus died for me, and because of that, God has saved my soul. He hath washed me clean by the blood, and I've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as a burial, a testimony that I'm dead by the body of the Lord Jesus to sin into the world. And I've been resurrected again in the newness of life. If we be planted in the likeness of his death, then the Bible said, are we resurrected also in the likeness of his life as to the resurrection? So then I can't do anything but believe God. And when God's Spirit comes into me, that's where the works come from. When his Spirit comes into me, I take on his nature. When I take on his nature, God hath already purified my heart by faith. The Spirit of God has come into me. And then I am altogether a Christian. My spirit has been translated into Christ's spirit. And then I am a Christian. And from then on, my nature makes me bear fruits unto life. Like the apple tree, the nature makes it bear fruits according to the nature, as to an apple, because it is an apple nature. And I have a Christ nature. So it makes me do the things of Christ, think the way that Christ thought, plan my life the way that Christ planned his, wanting to be about my Father's business, just doing things. It's like Jesus that pleases God and that's looking forward to that wonderful heavenly blessing of that great, wonderful world of God. So see, that's all I can do. And my works automatically follow my faith. It automatically follows my faith. And that's why the writer said, faith without works is dead. That is to say that you're believing and no works. You're making believe. You have a believing, all right, but you have an intellectual believing. You intellectually believe and you intellectually will yourself as to do certain things. It's called will worship. And you will yourself to go to church, not because you enjoy, but it's routine. Or you go for social purposes. Or it's just the will to go there because you get trouble and you want to get a little consolation. Once you get a little consolation and lift the load, you're right back in the old hog pens of the world. So then when you've got faith, faith translates your spirit into the marvelous kingdom of God. Now, right here, let's just take a minute or two and differentiate, as I said, in something that will help you. I don't feel a lot of hunger, but I feel enough interest that I think I can get across a few thoughts. Now, am I in the flesh? Are you in the flesh? Someone would say, well, of course I'm in the flesh, Brother Pike. If you don't believe it, look at me. Are you really in the flesh? If so be that you are in the flesh, then you cannot please God. So then, am I in the flesh? No, I am in the spirit. If I was in the flesh, I could not please God. If I was in the flesh, it would be positive proof that I've never been born again. For the Bible said, you're not in the flesh. I've chosen you out of the flesh. You're not in the world. I've chosen you out of the world. Just to choose you as a spiritual being out of the body takes you out of the world. And the sentence of death is within your body. And it's because of sin. It's because of Eve's sin. So then, I'm not in the flesh. How do I know that I'm not in the flesh? Because I walk not after the flesh. If I walk after the flesh and my interest is in the things of the world, the things of the flesh, and my interest is in money and faces and forms, and my interest is in buying and selling and doing all these things, then am I in the flesh? If my interest is in being a minister and captivating people's attention and being all these things that you can be in the ministry, then I am in the flesh. I'm in the flesh. But if my interest is in Christ, and I want to be like Christ, and I want to do like God, and I want to have a heart like Christ, and I want to think like the Lord, talk like the Lord, go where the Lord would have me go, be what the Lord wants me to be, bring every thought in subjection to the obedience of Christ, the Son of God, that I might yield my body to him, because I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That is, we are the feminine part and he's the masculine. And whatever he thinks, whatever he says, whatever he wants to do, that's the command of the body. That's the way it's supposed to be. So then, if I'm like that, then am I pleasing the Lord? And then will I do what God has told me to do? And I will think God's thoughts and not think my thought until every thought of my thought is eradicated, because in my birth, in my first birth, Satan is interwoven with my thoughts. And that makes my thoughts not clean in God's sight. And the only way I can have a clean thought is to think his thoughts, or to take my mind to God to purify it, and all my motivation and all my thinking and all that I go to do will not be carnal. God will purify it through the filter. And he'll make me to be profitable for his kingdom. So then, we are not in the flesh. Now, this is the beauty of it. Paul said that we are alive unto Christ. Yield your members unto Christ as those that are alive from the dead. He said, for ye are not in the flesh. Jesus came to die for you, and he came as an image of sin to take your place, that you could never be the image of sin anymore. And he that knew no sin was made sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that you should never be sinful anymore, that your body should never be sinful anymore, but that your body should be precious and be holy and be godly and be pure in the mind, and to be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. See, and yield your members as them that are alive from the dead. For Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The sentence of death is within me. There's a contrary thing within my flesh as to the world wooing my human senses and projecting itself even through my bloodstreams. See, as the natural man. And there is a continual war against the inner spirit of faith that is in the righteousness of God that says he hath purified me, sanctified me, glorified me, predestinated me, and made me holy and godly, body, soul, and spirit. See, that on the inside tells me that. It testifies of that. It believes that. It rejoices in that as to the inner man, the spiritual man. But in the outside man, Paul said, I see another law within my members warring against that mind and that law of liberty that's in my mind that gives me liberty by believing in what Christ did for me. I see this other law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin in the flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, I thank God that what the law could not do, though it was holy, spiritual, whatever, it could not do because it was weak through the flesh, or the flesh was weak to perform it. That God, sending his own Son in a sinful image, in the likeness of sinful flesh, hath condemned sin in the flesh once and for all. How do you do that? Because sin, as to death upon all men because of the sins of Adam, though they had not sinned after the similitude of Adam, but yet sin had brought death upon them. But where there's no knowledge of sin, sin was not imputed. Therefore, they were ignorant of it, and they got bond till God sent the law to bring that out to their minds to where sin would become exceedingly sinful. Paul said, what can I then say? Was that which was ordained unto life made death unto me? That is, the law was to bring life. Was it then made death unto me? He said, God forbid. But it was made sin unto me. Sin getting its strength by the law. That sin might become exceedingly sinful. Or that is, it might project itself and be seen by the human understanding when it was hid away and working death in me. So then when the law came, sin revived and I died. That is, it crushed my believing. It brought me under condemnation. And now Satan, that has control of my human senses by the first birth, being the god of this world, and me being in bondage as a bond child as to the beggarly elements of the world for survival, as to the natural side of life, as the worm in the old cocoon, then I'm drawn to that to survive all the time. And my interest is drawn to it, and my feelings of passion, and all this in my eyes as to the lust of the eyes. All of this is drawn to the natural world, which is but vanity and vexation of my inner spirit. And this law is warring against the law of my mind, bringing me under condemnation. For it keeps telling me, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. And Paul said, this is the horrible death. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, this thing warring within my members, he said, I find myself doing that I would not do. And said, if I do that I would not do, it is not I that doeth it. That is, these things that keep talking to me. He said, I don't want them to talk to me. I don't want any part of that. I don't want to hear that. I hate that. Our thoughts being the means while accusing or else excusing one another. A continual warfare with this mind. Another law warring against the law of my mind. Two minds warring, law to law, as to the law of liberty on the inside. Christ is mine through my new birth. And now this body not being changed, though it's already been purchased, and it is the purchased possession, but we're having to learn from transformation to transformation, as light to light on the inside, glory to glory, about this wonderful body that's already been purchased and paid for. So like a little child, we're growing a little bit at a time till we can grasp this to the change. Of the same way that Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Paul said, who's going to deliver me from this thing? And then he said, I thank God that Jesus Christ hath condemned it. God hath condemned it, sin and death by one man, now righteousness and life by one man. Just one man corrected the problem. And now, whereas many were made sinners because of sin unto death as with Adam, now many are made righteous by the second man, Adam, unto righteousness as unto life. So then the blessing is upon us, a faithful Abraham. So when we say, and now we are delivered from the body, Paul said, then, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin did work in our flesh. See, O wretched man that I am, what's wrong with me? It's the motions of sin working within my flesh. It's a law that keeps accusing me. It's something that keeps warring against the confidence of my faith on the inside, whereas I accept justification by Christ. And he said, O wretched man that I am, I need to get this thing out of the way. Christ rent the veil in two, making in himself twain, both Lord and Christ, that he might rend your veil in two. That's what it was all about. So that your body would be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, your spirit, the kingdom coming at Calvary, translated into the marvelous kingdom, sealed by light to where darkness can't get near it, and Satan can never touch your spirit again. Your dwelling is in Christ, which is hid in God, which is in heaven. And so then this body is now dead. He said, now, brethren, when you were in the body, when you were in the flesh, as to the first man Adam, the motions of sin did work in your flesh to bring forth fruits unto death. But now, being delivered from the body, you are no more under the constraint of the body, or of the cursed, or of the beast. And now the curse is forever gone of sickness, and of death, and sorrow. And the law says, cursed is he that continueth not in the law to keep every jot and tittle. And Jesus had folded up the law and laid the law away and fulfilled every jot and tittle. And let the spirit of the law to the fulfillment come into you, which is the Christ spirit called the Holy Ghost, to make sure that now you'd kept every jot and tittle of the law. And according to the measure that you allow yourself to have, so he is within you. Ye are the temples of the living God. Ye are holy in body. Ye are holy in spirit. Ye no more have the body of sin. Now, as those that are alive from the dead, yield your members unto holiness. Whereas when you were in the flesh, you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. See, and when you were in the flesh, before you accepted Calvary in your behalf, see, then the sin that worked in you brought forth death. But now that you're free from that and you're the body of the Lord, now be an example of the believer and love the Lord and be holy in body and spirit. Don't turn again to the beggarly elements of the world. Do you desire again to be under bondage to those things, of to the beggarly elements of the world? For whatever you desire, that's what you are. Because if you have a desire for the world, then the world is in you. And if the world is in you, that's Satan. And he loves the things of the world. And do you have not the love of the Father within you? If you have the love of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, then your spirit has been translated into Christ's spirit. And that means that the body cannot be charged against you. Even if you stumble and stagger trying to do your best, never is there a mark against you. Never is there a flaw in your life. You are sanctified, justified, glorified. You're God's elect. You're perfected forever without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And now that you're free from the body, now yield your members as those that are alive from the dead to bring forth fruits unto righteousness. So then we can tell by these things what God hath wrought. What saith the scriptures? And Abraham's faith was imputed unto him for righteousness. Not only for him, but to those that will believe. So then if you be the children of God, then are you free from sin and death. For the curse is forever gone. It's all gone because you cannot transgress the law. And transgression of the law is sin, and the sting of death is sin. If you transgress the law, it is sin. And death comes by sin. And if there's no law, there's no transgression. If there's no transgression, there is no sin, because the broken law is sin. And if there is no sin, there is no sting of death. And if there's no sting of death, then death, where's your sting? And grave, where's your victory? So then you're alive from the dead, having passed from death unto life, and can never die. And though it doth not appear as yet what we shall be like as to this heavenly treasure of this eternal life, this great Spirit of Christ that we already have in us, it doth not yet appear as to the outward man as to what it shall be like. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as James and John and Peter saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration, when his raiment glistened and he outshined the brightness of the noonday. For we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him as to the change. But brethren, remember now, that's only a change in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. It has nothing to do with what you already are, what you already have on the inside is this heavenly treasure, what you have always been in the mind of God, what you are at the present moment, what you forever shall be. It's just a matter of you being able to see it with your eye as to a natural eye, or they seeing it, and God has hid it beneath this little veil of flesh so that they cannot see it, but already you're the beloved sons of God. Already. See, you already have this, and the more you learn about this, the more you understand it, the more you can believe it, the stronger your faith is, because you say, well, my God, if my body's already redeemed, and my spirit is sealed where nothing can touch it, and I'm over here past the law, and I'm like Enoch, there's no law over me. Enoch translated by faith that he should not see death. Here I am, I've been translated by faith as to the spiritual inner man, that I should not see death. I'm alive forevermore, and I'm to make all this manifest in my mortal genes as to the heavenly treasure. And the Bible said, in the woman that is joined unto a man, they are one flesh. But he that is joined unto God is one spirit. And you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Ye are one spirit. See, and the flesh profiteth nothing. It is not counted against you. God never sees it. It is a bastard child image. He hates it. He killed it. He buried it. He poured out his wrath upon it. It's forever gone. Don't you try to do anything to bring it back. You deny yourself. You look on the things of God. You look to your body that's sitting under at the right hand of the Father, and accept the fact by faith that since the mind of evil is gone and the infiltration is eradicated, that now you're holy in body and spirit, because he's looking at you as the finished product at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. And be an example of your youth. Don't despise your youth, but be an example of the youth. So then I say one more time, you're not in the flesh. So if you're not in the flesh, then don't yield your members to the flesh. Someone would say, but supposing I do yield my members to the flesh, that's the positive proof that you wasn't born again. If you can do that after knowing the truth, it means that you never was born again. See, to be born again, you have to have his spirit. And if you have his spirit, you won't do those things. Your spirit won't let you do those things. Or his spirit. Paul said, the love of God constraineth me, and his spirit won't let you do those things. If you do those things, then don't fool yourself. You've never been born again. Because I tell you in the name of the Lord, once you get his spirit, you will never do those things again. As a babe in Christ, when you're born again, you get his spirit, you may stumble a little bit here and there trying to get your bearing. Even then, you'll be deeply grieved and you'll try to stay away from it, and you'll gain more strength and more momentum every day. But when you've been in the Lord a little while and then you go do those things, you can be of a certainty, if you didn't stumble, you can be of a certainty that you are not born again. And if you don't have his spirit, you're not born again, you're none of his, you couldn't possibly make the translation. Whereas the Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape them things that's coming on the earth. Let's stand together. I appreciate your attention tonight. But anyway, this is the wonderful beauty of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Paul the Apostle, given the revelation of Jesus Christ to go get the church, given unto you to know the mysteries, but unto the world it's not given. They look on the outward appearance and they say, well, you're just like I am. I can look and tell, but beloved, you're not. You go not by appearance, but the child is known by his doings. the spirit on the inside, whatever it does, if it curses, if it snarls, if it acts like a beast, if it's covetous, if it's filled with lust and desire for the flesh, if it's after the things of the world and fame and popularity and prestige and all these other things, if it's after money and position and securities, if it's after the lust of the flesh and the human senses and sensation of the world, then you know that you've got the wrong spirit, and you know that Satan, he savors the things that be of the world. But if you have a self-denial and you're wanting to get away from those things and you're wanting to be like Jesus and you're going to be like Jesus no matter what you have to do, you're going to put self down and you're doing the best you can, then you can be for sure that you've got God's spirit, and God is going to give you an extra bit of strength every day and drop a handful on purpose, as it was said in the days of Ruth, so that you can make it on in. Let's sing the little chorus together. Let's sing and love Him. I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Once again now. So I love Him. That He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Go take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden the Lord and leave them there. Can you sing it with me? If your body suffers pain, your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on makeup fair, just remember in God's word how He fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Can you sing it with me? Leave it there. Oh, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord. One more time.
Go and leave it there. You can leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave it there. You love the Lord? You can take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Let's sing this little chorus. We keep working the roads to glory. Working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the roads that lead to heaven up above and make it easy for those behind. We keep working the road to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the snares that hinder, offer my prayers and make it easy for those that are behind. The road to heaven is straight and also narrow. The gate around us trials of every kind. I want to smooth out the snares that end, offer my prayers to make it easy for those. Sing it with me now. I keep working those roads to glory, working those roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the road that leads to heaven above and make it easy for those. One more time. The road to heaven is straight and also narrow. The gate around the trials of every kind. I want to smooth out the snares that hinder, offer my prayers and make it easy for someone be. Sing it with me now. We keep working those roads to glory, working those roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the snares at hand, offer my prayers and make it easy for those behind. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's sing another little chorus. We're glad to have Brother Greg Daniel with us. Came down from Marysville. He's been gone for several years. And I told him, I said, I got a feeling when you leave Little Bethlehem, you're going to run into problems. And he said, Brother Pike, he said, I have really run into problems. And said, what you said really came to pass. And Brother Tommy, I don't know whether Tom Meredith got here or not. He and Sister Barbara's been packing to come down. And they're leaving from up there. And I understand Tom said he never would leave Little Bethlehem anymore when he got here. So I think that's wonderful. Tom's a real fine fella. And I think maybe Brother Sister Wise is talking about coming on down too. Others, there's some of the Carolinas that's wanting to move down. Different ones want to come down to be with you. Paul said your faith is spoken of throughout the world. And the fame of Little Bethlehem spreads all over the world. And because of that,
then it's evident that God is doing something in little Bethlehem. And we should be diligent to be about our Father's business, because that's supposed to be what we're doing. You love the Lord? Let's sing this whole chorus. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the jury. Poor old Andy poured in the oil. Sing it with me. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the jury. Poor old he poured in. One more time. Jesus poured in that oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the jury. Poor old he poured in the oil. Can you sing it one more time? Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth the soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. He poured in the oil and the wine. Somebody say hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Lord. Don't you feel the presence of the Lord? Praise God. You're wonderful people. You've come to a wonderful understanding in God to know that you really are His. Let's sing this little chorus. Let tomorrow I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh, so happy in my soul. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. We'll just serve the living God that hath control. And if the rain fall, the sun shine, I'll be happy, oh, so happy in my soul. Let's lift our hands up together and let's sing this little chorus. Let's sing Everybody Ought to Know, Brother Taylor. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Who Jesus said, for he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000.
everybody ought to know.
Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes.
And I will praise Him.
How many of you believe what I taught tonight? Are you then in the flesh? Are you in the flesh or are you in the spirit? See, when you were in the flesh, then the motions of sin did work in your flesh to bring forth fruits unto death. But now, being delivered from the flesh, you are in the spirit. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. You were born to the first man, Adam, of flesh and his bones. The woman, when her husband is dead, she's at liberty to be married to another. And now the first man, Adam, is dead and gone. Died at Calvary. Now you're married to the second man, Adam. Resurrected from the dead. And you're at liberty now because you're married to the quickening spirit. The first man, Adam, was a living soul. Now you are a quickening spirit. In the spirit and not in the flesh. And God has chosen you out of the world. And the world hates you because you're not of the world. If you was of the world would love you. But because you testify that the deeds of the world are evil, the world hateth you, for the world loveth its own. Now, so then the motions of sin cannot work in your flesh anymore, because that body is forever dead. Do you believe that? All right, if that body is forever dead, then you'll hear your members as those that are alive from the dead. To be Christ-like, for you're now the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're now bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal members or your mortal bodies, not for a moment, but be holy in body and in spirit, and yield your body and your mind and your spirit and members unto God. This is a great, marvelous opportunity, like you can never dream of unless your eyes are open to where you can see it. You that see this, the pearl of great price, it's little wonder that you should forfeit all that you have and sell all that you have to obtain this field as to this purchase. Because this is the great, wonderful field of the purchase of the pearl of great price. So then ye are the loving children of God. Ye are they that dwell in heaven. Rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven. Paul said, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Always, Paul said. And again I say rejoice. Let's lift those hands up and let's praise the Lord tonight. While we sing this little chorus together, I will praise Him.
We will praise Him. We will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain.
While we're praising the Lord and our hands lifted up, and your eyes all closed, just thinking on the wonderful things of God tonight. How wonderful it is to be a Christian. Folks, it's so wonderful to be a Christian. I say that, and a lot of times people, they can't fathom what we're saying. But when you understand the scriptures, and you understand who you are and what you are, then your heart sings out and cries with great joy, saying, my God, what it is to be a Christian. I'm free from sin and death. I'm free from the curse. I'm alive forevermore. I don't ever have to die. I don't ever have to go into the grave, even to sleep. I don't have to ever worry again. It's all over. Jesus did it all. All to Him I owe. Jesus paid it all. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up and let's love Him.
That washed away.
Once again. We're going to sing it once again. All together now.
So I want to praise Him. I want to praise Him. the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give.
While you've got your hands up singing, let's sing this all together one more time as we praise the Lord tonight. Do you love the Lord? Let's give Him a wave offering as we sing it one more time. I will praise my Lord. Now think, isn't it worth it all to leave the world behind? Is the frivolous little imaginary things of the world and the beggarly elements of the world worth losing this over? Don't you entreat? Aren't you glad for the knowledge of God that passeth all understanding as to His love? See, if you don't have this knowledge, then you don't have His mind, for this knowledge is His mind. And His faith that translates you into the kingdom and preserves you forever comes from this knowledge. And therefore, the world cannot be translated. See, you are being translated right now into the marvelous kingdom of God. And this knowledge is what's giving you His faith. Your faith comes from your knowledge. See, and you're to cast down every thought till it's His mind. Let this mind be in you. And then it becomes your believing that you're not under the law, that you're not under the curse, that you're not under sin, that you're not under death, that you're not under sorrow, that you're not under poverty, that you're not under heartaches, that you're not under fears and frustrations and anxieties, that you're not under the power and the spell and influence of demon spirits. You're the master. You're the body of the Lord Jesus. The Word is being made power in you. Being made power in you. Because He is the God of the great Spirit. He is the great Holy Ghost. And according to your mission that you allow to live in your flesh, then the Holy Ghost is being made flesh according to your measure, as to His body, as to His spirit, as to His bones, as to His flesh. So tonight, can you lift your hands up and close your eyes and praise Him tonight? Can you close your eyes, lift up your hands and give Him a wave offering tonight? Are you glad for this kind of understanding? Are you glad for this kind of knowledge? Does it make you happy to know you're free? That you're not children of the bondage of the world and the bonds child of the beggarly elements of the world? I can tell you believe it. That's what it is. It's translating your inner spirit, and it's going to change the bodies. It's on the verge of doing it already. One more time as you praise Him and give Him a wave offering. We're going to sing it again. So I will praise Him. I will praise the Lamb for sinners.